Remember not our past sins. Let your compassion be swift to meet us, for we have been brought very low. As most of you know, I was gone the last week or so because I was in Nebraska last week to celebrate my father's 80th birthday. And it was a wonderful event, and my sisters and I had, I add myself to it. Basically, they organized it, an open house, and I just wrote a check, so it's, it was a wonderful event, because, we had, friends and family that, some of them were new, but a lot of them hadn't seen for literally decades. It was a wonderful, for the most part, a wonderful time. Half the time you're playing a guessing game who was who, but, it was an enjoyable time kind of reconnecting with, cousins and friends and uncles and aunts and, relatives I wasn't sure how I was related to, but apparently, I am related to. But in the midst of all this, two of my elderly relatives came in, and these two people have not spoken to each other in at least 25 years. And if they have to sit at the same table, it's done grudgingly and at either end. And it all had to do with a piece of dining room furniture. And, and it's one of those things that, it's sad, but it's almost become a little bit of a, a little bit of a family joke, because it's that, they come in and, everybody else seems to, realize how ridiculous it is that these two people who were once close will not even, sit next to each other anymore, let alone talk. And it made me think about this reading today when Jesus is talking about the idea of serving two masters, about the idea of God and wealth. And where two people who are related and should be loving one another literally have loathed one another for a quarter of a century over a thing. And realizing that these are both two people that I know go to Catholic Mass every week, if not every morning. And, it makes me sad. And I look at what Jesus was talking about today, about sometimes how we put wealth or what's, material things, things that will eventually rot away, before God, before love. Now, in our gospel today, we hear about this dishonest manager who apparently has not done a very good job at managing. And his master has figured it out and is calling for the books and wants to see the books. And he is telling the servant that he's going to have to, to go away, that he's being dismissed. And, of course, we have the servant who starts panicking because he realizes that he has no other skills other than being a manager. That he knows that he's incapable of manual labor, and his pride is too big for him to beg. And we're told that he gets this idea, and he makes this plan that he's going to, make a lot of people happy, so that when he is kicked out on the street, they will welcome him into their homes. And we're told that these people are debtors and to the master, and they come to him, and he starts forgiving a portion of their debt. Now, the master sees this, and he is impressed by, the shrewdness, or the word can also be listed as, translated as prudency, or even the wisdom of this servant who takes upon himself to create a situation in which he's going to be taken care of once he gets fired. And of course, he keeps the guy on. Now, a lot of times we look at the story from either the master or the, you know, the wicked or the dishonest manager. But sometimes we need to look at it at the viewpoint of the debtor. Now, in those days, not much unlike today. You know, I'm sure all of you have had, the credit card application, that there is, no interest due. Or else maybe you found this sweet deal for cable television or your telephone that looks like a great price. But then as you start reading the fine print, or maybe after you get your first bill, you realize you didn't have quite the deal you thought you were going to get. There may not have been any interest, but there were a heck of a lot of fees. Now, the Torah, the law, the law that the Jewish people followed did not allow them to collect interest on a loan. However, those who were smart figured out ways to still profit. You know, it's one of those things where you came to me and it's like, my family's hungry and I need a bushel of wheat. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll give you a bushel of wheat, but you owe me, along with that bushel back, you owe me a peck of wheat on top of it. So, it isn't exactly interest. It's just, the price of doing business. And, of course, you're talking about a lot of people who may not be well-educated, who may not read well, who are coming to these people because a lot of times they had no choice. And basically put themselves into, they indentured themselves to these people. They put themselves into a perpetual servitude because they could never really pay it back. They owe, each time they paid, made a payment, it just covered what was due. And, a lot of these people, they had, no way of keeping track. And even if they did, the person was in power. And if he said you owed him another, bushel of wheat, you owed him another bushel of wheat. What are you going to do? And so when we hear about the shrewd servant, the dishonest manager, cutting deals, taking off, a few jugs here of oil, a few bushels of wheat here and there, what he is probably taking is from the extra fees. And either cutting out, because everybody back then wanted to get their cut, so, you had the owner, the master, who, he may say, for every bushel you owe me a peck, and then the manager would say, add his own little, a couple of cups of wheat here and there for himself. And so it is thought that he probably was just cutting off his cut of the take. Maybe a little bit of the interest off. And, of course, the people are very excited because they're able to finally maybe pay back what they owe. And, of course, he builds a friendship. And the manager sees what's going on and he's impressed by, not so much the generosity of his servant, but that the guy is thinking, and he realizes he probably really does need this guy on his on his side. Now, think about it. In spite of looking out for numero uno, in spite of just being there for selfish reasons, cutting these deals, the dishonest manager actually does some good. His little acts of kindness, even though they may be self-serving, helped out the debtors. Maybe gave some of them a footing and a chance to get ahead finally in life. And so that little act of goodwill, for whatever reason, created a lot of good. Now, We all have, our lives where, of course, we all want to have a little bit of, I guess, the proverbial piece of the pie. Forgetting that, there's enough pie for everybody. We all want a bigger slice. Thinking about items, about mammon, as I said, wealth. Putting this desire to have more and more, sometimes before other people. And in doing so, sometimes we create hurt. We create resentment. We put a situation where a piece of furniture has caused a resentment that's lasted 25 years. Because we put things above people. We put a desire for personal wealth over love. Instead of focusing on God, we focus on earthly things. And what Jesus is calling us to do is to take our focus off of what is temporal, those things that will eventually fade away, those things that one day we will have no use for, those, as I say, those things you can't take with you. Instead of focusing on those, to focus on what is truly important, where our true wealth is, to focus on the kingdom of heaven, not that of man. Now, sometimes that's hard because, like all of you, I know, like most of you, I like my things. There are, some of the things I own just because they're really neat. Other things I own because they have some kind of a sentimental attachment. And others are maybe I think is an investment. And I don't think God begrudges us our things. But when we start putting them before God, when they become more important than our brothers and sisters, then we have a problem. My sisters and brothers, we're each and every one of us called to put God before all else. To look at our sister and brothers who are in need. To not take advantage of a situation, but to share what has been so freely given to us. And at times, practice a little bit of forgiveness along with that love. To think about what is more important. A 50-year-old sideboard or your relationship with your relative. What's more important, having that next best device or making sure your sister or your brother have something to eat. As I've often said, being a Christian is awfully simple, but it's not easy. We all know what the right thing is, but sometimes doing it is difficult because it calls on us to maybe sacrifice something we don't want to. It could be an item, it could be our wealth, it could even be our time. Yet it all comes from God. And if we are willing to share, we don't do without. Everyone else, though, gets a little bit more. Those who are hungry maybe get something to eat. Relationships that have been, have some kind of wall between them, that wall breaks down. So my brothers and sisters, focus on what is truly important. Don't worry so much about your things, but worry and be concerned about where your true wealth is.